We return to Numbers 20 today. The Lord will speak to you through his holy living word and his earthen vessel by Christ and the power of his spirit. May we have ears to hear. We finish verses 22 through 29 of chapter 20. And it's interesting to consider before we begin that the chapter ends with death. And the chapter begins with death. The death of Miriam, and now the death of her brother Aaron. And there are a number of things related to Aaron that are significant, as he is the high priest. But notice, even the high priest is not spared death. He's not the perfect high priest. Also, even the high priest is not spared discipline and punishment. And this is going to be before the people. This is public discipline. Other things more positively are happening. But consider this, as this chapter opens and closes with death, and in the beginning is yet another time of more murmuring and complaining, we need to recognize also that it has much to teach us about life and our only source of life. Numbers chapter 20, verses 22 through 29. Hear now the word of God. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Well, I'm not commenting on this in the sermon, but I think it's worth noting in verse 29, they mourned for Aaron 30 days. It kind of reminds me of sometimes in history in the past when an important president has died, the body is actually taken on a train across the country and the nation mourns publicly and is there as he passes by to grieve over him because of the special service that he gave them. And so that's kind of what's happening for Aaron here. But we want to recognize also, just as Jesus wept for Lazarus, even though he was about to raise him from the dead, there's a place for mourning the dead. There's a place for remembering the dead. We come here to this text today, and we need to see that it's all full of death with the whole chapter. And again, we need to see how we're rescued from it. And God shows that in the text. We see that Aaron's death and his derobing as high priest, first of all, shows the need for a successor. This is a big deal. The high priest is everything. And he's dead. He's going to be dead. And his clothes are being taken off. What is that going to mean for the people and their lives? Aaron's death and derobing as high priest show the need for a successor. And also that God provides one in Eleazar. But Aaron and Eleazar are just types of Jesus Christ. Eleazar is going to die too. And as you know, the high priest will continue to die. The high priest in Jesus' day were corrupt and they died and they didn't recognize him as the final high priest. But what this is showing us, the need for the succession of high priests, is that we need a final high priest. We need a once for all final high priest that takes care of our sins once and for all and always intercedes for us. And we know that God has sent him. Aaron and Eleazar are types of Jesus Christ as high priest. And we know that God has sent already Jesus Christ, the high priest. And because we have this high priest whose priesthood never changes, we're going to see told to us in Hebrews. Therefore, Christ ever lives to intercede for you. That's what we're also told in Hebrews chapter 7. Christ, unlike Aaron, has an unchangeable priesthood. Why is that important? You never have to worry what's going to happen. He's always high priest. He's high priest, the true high priest in the heavens right now, at the true tabernacle representing you. And that's never going to change. So you can know that he's always interceding for you. That's what a priest does. He's an advocate, remember. He's your mediator, prophet, priest, and king. And we look at him again as the mediatorial priest for you. His priesthood, his mediating, his being a go-between for you and having applied his blood as the perfect sacrifice, he now, you are always accepted by God in him. There's never any danger or worry. Beloved, the message for you today is this. Christ ever lives to intercede for you. Well, that should help you this week, or as you come to take the Lord's Supper tonight, as you go out this week and you struggle and you sin and you fall and you feel like you can't come back before him. You remember that your life with God is not based on you, just as it's not based on Aaron, it's based on Christ, the high priest whose ministry never changes. So neither does your situation with God. Neither does your standing in your relationship with God. Christ ever lives to intercede for you. You can always go to God because that high priest is always there interceding for you. That being said, God does show us something very severe in the text. God shows that he takes sin in the church, especially public sin by his leaders and public representatives, he takes it very seriously. God shows that he takes sin in the church and especially by his leaders very seriously. In a sense, what's happening today in part is cashiering. And I only learned of that term when I was kind of confirming the details of this. Cashiering is usually in the military. It's a military practice where somebody is degraded from military position, from a higher office to a lower, or maybe taken out and stripped of being in the military. But a lot of times just stripped of their honor. There is a public ceremony and that military person is brought before everyone and they rip the badges off their uniform. As a sign of you have lost the privilege to serve in this capacity. And that's what happens here. It's the cessation of Aaron's priesthood. The end of Aaron's priesthood. He's the first high priest. And he could have gone into the promised land and continued the priesthood for some time. But now he is brought before the congregation and essentially has his badges ripped off of him of his honorable service. He has his high priestly garments taken off of him. That's a big deal. The high priestly garments are different than the other priests. He alone is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies with those special garments, but once a year for the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. And now the man that's used by God to do the Day of Atonement is being stripped of his uniform. He can't serve. Judgment is being shown here. The removal of the high priestly garments, God is showing serious government of his church and of his leaders. No one is exempt. Everyone has to obey God. And when he says, you rebelled against me, that's why you're not going in. Last time we read, he and Moses, they didn't obey God. They spoke to the people with rebuke instead of speaking to the rock. They smacked the rock, although that was Moses more directly. And so Moses and Aaron, as the leaders of God's people who did not sanctify him in the midst of the people, are now going to be publicly disciplined by God himself. No one's exempt. This calling of a public assembly for defrocking is really humbling. But it's more than that. It's his death. He's got to go up into the mountain and die there. 40 years. And now he's got to die outside the promised land. So close again like Miriam and yet so far. Why? Remember, because of unbelief. That's what God said, because of unbelief. So he's disciplined. And then he has to die. outside the promised land. And think about this. His son's got to be part of that and see it. And it's not just his sin. It's a reminder to all the people. You did this to him, essentially. He's responsible for his sin, but your constant murmuring and complaining and fighting against your ministers is what finally broke them down and they sinned. And so they all have to be there seeing that Aaron's death is essentially on their shoulders. They all have to see this severity of it. But most importantly, what we want to see today, this is where it should take us. Aaron's death shows the need for an eternal high priest. This isn't going to get the job done, is it? Every high priest is going to be a sinner. Every high priest is going to die. And so we need an eternal high priest. We need a high priest that can last, whose ministry can last forever. That is, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who they're pointing to. And that's who their deaths are pointing to. The priesthood of Jesus Christ would be the offering up of himself, the perfect Lamb of God, through himself, who is the perfect veil of God. All of these things are said of Jesus in Hebrews, especially chapter 7 through 10, saying his priesthood after the priesthood of Melchizedek is an everlasting priesthood. And he's the true veil, and he's the true Lamb of God. He's the true temple, and he's the true high priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Levi in the tribe of Judah, which started in Genesis chapter 14, we've read recently. Consider this. Consider how Jesus Christ, the true high priest, yet was stripped of his garments. He was stripped in humility of his garments, yet he was perfect. That was a fulfillment of Psalm 22 that we sing when we take the Lord's Supper. He was stripped of his garments, yet his garments should have been left on him, and he was given a false trial by Caiaphas, the high priest, in part. Anything else? Other trials and all the other problems came because of the judgment of Caiaphas, Jesus was the true Lamb of God. Jesus is your true Lamb of God, who truly atoned for your sins once and for all as the true high priest, who never dies. He gave his life up for a few days simply to show that he could raise himself from the dead and take care of your death instead of you. But he can't be killed. He rose himself from the dead. He went back to heaven. He reigns there as Almighty God and your high priest forever. You don't have to worry about him dying. You see, God shows he takes his commitment to save his people from their sins very seriously, too. Judgment and mercy kissed together on the cross in Christ. God shows that he takes sin in the church and by his leaders very seriously. But God also shows today he takes his commitment to save his people from their sins very seriously. So there's not just a cashiering going on here publicly. There's also a public ordination service. Aaron gets to be part of his son's own ordination service, and that's a mercy. He is transferring his garments. The clothes are not being thrown on the ground, and now there's no ministry. The clothes are being transferred to his son. And Eleazar will pick up the mantle, as it were, as Elijah did Elijah, and he'll continue the ministry. He'll take on this honor and duty from his father. So we have the succession of Aaron's priesthood. We have the cessation of Aaron's priesthood. But praise the Lord, we have the succession of Aaron's priesthood in Eleazar. God will continue the high priestly work. And this is mercy. This is mercy for the people, but also a mercy to Aaron to be able to see his son take it. You can almost imagine Aaron saying, as he's passing backward, "My son, do better than me. Take care of God's people. I'm proud of you." It was mercy that Aaron wasn't killed by a plague. It was mercy that Aaron wasn't killed by fire, as happened a few chapters before by those who did disbelieve and disobey God with mumbling and complaining. While Aaron has to die and he has to go through a bit of humiliation, on the other hand, there's a bit of ceremony here of the continuing of the ministry. All is not lost. And everything he did in the ministry is not lost, though he has to lose out on some of his blessings in this life. He's given an honorary discharge, perhaps we could say, in some ways. Paul House puts it this way: in sheer indomitable grace and faithfulness to Abraham, the Lord punishes in order to renew. Similar to how it says elsewhere, I believe in Hannah's song about God, the Lord kills and then he makes alive. The Lord in his grace punishes, but he punishes in order to renew. He punishes in order to clean. He punishes to bring repentance. He punishes that there would be reconciliation and restoration to the way things must be for his glory, but for their own good. Paul House points out that God, in passing on the priesthood to Eleazar, sustains spiritual leadership, and he sustains the sanctuary operation. After a transfer of the high priestly garments, God is showing that the priesthood will continue. The high priesthood will continue. The guy that goes into the temple and the tabernacle, later the temple, once a year on the Day of Atonement, which is to cover for all your sins, because all of these sacrifices constantly all year long really don't get it done. They just represent that Jesus will get it done. And the Day of Atonement once a year is to represent that you need complete salvation, everything covered. And even that Day of Atonement doesn't really get it done. That's why we need Jesus Christ. We don't have to have an annual sacrifice anymore, let alone all the time with different things. But this system is teaching there's a way for atonement. And at this time, it is representing the way of having atonement and reconciliation with God, the way of being able to be in God's presence. Remember, he's dwelling in their midst, in his tent in the midst of all their tents. How can it be that God is going to be with them? Only by the ministry of the high priest. And so God is showing mercy that this ceremonial system that he's established for this time is not gone away with. Just like a little earlier, after all of these big rebellious episodes, then he reminds them about the ministry of the Levitical priesthood. Nothing's changed. I'm not taking that away. We will be okay. So there's mercy to be seen here. Atonement and life with God is not interrupted. And this is a blessing for you. You may have corrupt ministers come through. You may have all kinds of problems and sins come through. And God is faithful to keep the ministry going. It's not dependent on one man. It's dependent on the God-man, Jesus Christ. He's faithful to keep his church alive. Gordon Wenham speaks about it this way. It's such a big deal that the high priest would continue just before they're going to go into the promised land. He says, in a real sense, the life of the nation was contingent on his carrying out of his duties faithfully. In a real sense, their whole life as a nation depended upon the high priest. So God is mercifully giving a new high priest, even as he has to discipline the other. God also shows the need for the succession of the priesthood into the one true final high priest, so that there is never a concern about the priesthood failing. And there's never a concern about whether or not the life of the church will continue. And this death of Aaron is a significant milestone. And at the end of Numbers, you'll see that anytime a high priest dies, there's some special allowances for mercy that happen. Because when a high priest dies, it's the end of an age for the people. And they're all pointing to the need for this final high priest, Jesus Christ, that in Christ God provides. And that is what the writer to the Hebrews talks a lot about. And it's significant that we return there yet again today to really see application of what God is doing in typological form, figurative form, with these realities of the priesthood and Aaron and Eleazar. But it's all pointing somewhere. Even the death of the high priest today is pointing somewhere. Because Jesus Christ will never fail you as a high priest. He will never sin. He will never have the sin of unbelief. He will never have the sin of disobedience. He is a perfect lamb and he's a perfect high priest. And his offering of himself as high priest is perfection. You're being shown you need that today. let's see that the Lord would have us know that we have it. We're going to turn to the letter to Hebrews now in the New Testament, and we're going to look at a number of scriptures again, as we often do. It bears repeating for us to encourage and comfort us in the faith. Until that time that we shall sin no more. So turn with me first to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 6. Now, basically, Hebrews chapter 7, even really in some ways all the way back to Hebrews 4. But the writer of the Hebrews spends a lot of time contrasting the New Testament era with the Old Testament era of the church, because Christ has come. And he's fulfilled all of these types and symbols and patterns and shadows that now go away because the reality of the truth and fulfillment of them has come in Christ. Today we're going to focus on the parts that show the true high priest has come in Jesus Christ. And so it's a better priesthood, an eternal priesthood. But we're going to look at chapter 9 first, verses 6 through 15 to begin with. Hear now the word of God about your high priest, Jesus Christ. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone. And let me pause. That would have been Aaron on the Day of Atonement. Into the second, the most holy place, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, because he was a sinner, and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying, before we go on, you see, the Holy Ghost is signifying and teaching you something here with Aaron. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing with its earthly priesthood, which was a figure, literally in the Greek, a type, typology, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Now, this is where we just had a Wednesday night study 2 weeks ago, remember? The time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. You see, that's the act of the high priest, bringing the blood of the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement into the most holy place. Jesus has done that. Where is it? Heaven. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. You see that? Having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats, blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Well, let's look ahead to verse 24, verses 24 through the end of this chapter. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, perhaps it's worth mentioning again that that's why when we take the Lord's Supper tonight, it says this do in remembrance of me, not this do to me. And it's not called an altar. It's called a table because Jesus Christ is sacrificed once for all. That's why the Catholic Church and the priesthood that tries to mimic so many things about the Levitical priesthood misses the whole point. There's no more need for sacrifice. And it's not transubstantiation. Jesus is not literally sacrificed here on the altar when we have the Lord's Supper. It's done. He says, do this in remembrance of me, because when I offer up my own blood as your high priest, that's it. It's done. You have eternal forgiveness, forgiveness of sins. Well, let's look ahead now to chapter 10. I want to look together at some verses in chapter 10. Again, emphasizing, notice all the talk of the earthly high priest not being sufficient, but the high priesthood of Jesus Christ being eternally sufficient. So we look at verses 11 through 18. And the reason we are belaboring the point with our text in Numbers today is because the writer to Hebrews does. God belabors this point. It needs to be repeated. Verses 11 through 18 of chapter 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So tonight, when we have the Lord's Supper, Jesus will say to you, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. And he's going to be reminding you, your sins have been remitted of you. They're gone. Very hard for you and I to believe. Yes, he'll deal with us in time, in life, but in terms of our relationship with him and our eternal reality in heaven with him, it's taken care of. Past, present, and future, because his priesthood is the true high priesthood once and for all. Done. There's no more offering for sin. Why? There's no more need to deal with your sins. There's no more need to have your debts paid. It's done. Look with me at verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. Pardon me, I meant to only go to verse 22. We have full assurance of our faith from an evil conscience. Our bodies have been washed. Now, I want to turn back with you to chapter 7. I wanted to look at those two chapters because they have a lot to say about this eternal priesthood of Christ. But I want to end with chapter 7 because it's got so much more to say, and it's the application of the sermon of this text in Numbers today. Chapter 7 of Hebrews. And this is really where it begins with this comparison of the priesthood of Christ with the priesthood of the Levitical priesthood and the priesthood in this case started with Aaron of the high priest. So much better. So much better. And the effect upon your soul and your conscience, therefore, is so much better. We'll look first at verses 11 through 17 of Hebrews chapter 7. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek? And not be called after the order of Aaron. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance to the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that keeps coming up. That's from Psalm 110, as you know, the most quoted psalm and the most quoted Old Testament scripture in all of the New Testament. Pretty important. Now look ahead to verse 22. Through the end of the chapter. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Exactly in our text today. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Do you notice in all of these sections of Hebrews contrasting the priesthood, the everlasting priesthood is being emphasized. The everlasting priesthood, which has its continual effect for you, is being emphasized. That's what Aaron's priesthood not being permanent and his not being a perfect priest and his needing to be disciplined and his dying are all pointing to. And everyone who will die in the high priestly order after him are all pointing to we need Jesus Christ. And we have Jesus Christ. So we have an eternal priesthood. Especially, again, look at verses 23 to 25. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Unlike Aaron, unlike anyone else, he's never going to die. He's eternal Son of God, so he has an unchangeable priesthood. And he's the perfect Son of God. He never needs to be defrocked. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Why is that important? Verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Do you need to be saved? Do you need to know that he is able to save you to the uttermost? From the depths of hell, for all your wicked, abominable, disgusting sins, you need to know there is a true high priest who is able to save you to the uttermost. And the deficiency of Aaron is pointing to the sufficiency of Christ. And because he can save you, because his priesthood never changes, therefore, what else? Why is it important? He ever liveth to make intercession for you. He has saved you, and you can never have your salvation stripped from you because Christ's holy garments of his high priesthood will never be stripped from him. And these are the garments you see described about him in the book of Revelation. He is representing you as the true king, priest, prophet with the garments of royal kingship and priesthood in the heavenlies now, and that's never going to change, beloved. There's nothing that is going to separate you from God if you are in Christ Jesus. He never dies. His priesthood never ends. He applies the effect of his death in heaven for you. It's done. He sat down, it says. It's done. He doesn't have to keep walking, going around. It's done. His ministry is done. So he intercedes for you as your high priest, always. Thus, you can do what Hebrews says earlier. You can always approach the throne of grace with confidence, seeking mercy in your time of need. Beloved, rest assured in Christ, because unlike Aaron, Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, as the Lion of Judah, has an unchangeable priesthood. And because of that, Christ ever lives to intercede for you. And that is your message this morning from him. Christ ever lives to intercede for you. Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, for sending your Son to be our true high priest, the true Lamb of God, who takes away our sins. We thank you, Almighty God, that because of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, whose perfect death, whose perfect life applied once and for all as he entered into the Holy Holies as the true high priest and the true Holy of Holies, he has applied his blood at the altar, and we now are always admitted. And we never need to worry about being defrocked or dying. We will live with you forever in the new heavens, in the new earth. Your priesthood never changes, Lord Jesus. And so our status with you as sons and daughters of God is never altered. Our salvation remains secure. There is no interruption. We cannot lose our salvation even for a moment because of the high priesthood of Jesus Christ and the everlasting covenant, the blood of the everlasting covenant, that he has sanctified us forevermore. Oh, Lord, may we bask in this blessing today. May we consider your high priesthood. You ascended into heaven to apply in the Holy of Holies, just as Aaron and the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year to apply the blood of the sacrifice from without. You ascended into heaven to go before us to prepare the way by applying your blood once and for all. So now we approach you in worship. We approach you in prayer, and one day we will approach you face to face when the new Jerusalem and the temple come down from heaven. And we are your temple, and you can dwell within us even now because of the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. It was not the same in the past, not to the same degree of intimacy. We are now your tabernacle. We are your temple because Jesus Christ is the high priest once for all. It lasts forever, and the Spirit of Christ is within us. So we thank you, Lord, that we have all this now. And we thank you that you gave us these types and signs of the ceremonial system so we would know our need, that you seriously judge sin. You save us unto yourself by saving us from your wrath, by giving us mercy in the offering of Jesus Christ, in his offering of himself. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for living for us. Thank you for ever living for us, that we have confidence and assurance of everlasting life, that we may serve you in good conscience all our days, not because of ourselves, but because of our high priest, Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. May we praise your name, and as you serve us your body and blood tonight, may we be especially sensitive and aware and blessed by the presence of our eternal high priest. And may we be eternally grateful, and may it show in how we live upon this earth. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and all his people said, Amen.